This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
This half hour by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies in the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All right. Dave Spadaro is joining us, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Dave, how you
been,
first of all? How you been, man? You doing all right?
Been crazy. But doing really well. It's been, so this is my 28th year here. This offseason has been as slam, bang, whiz, gee, golly, boy, oh boy, crazy. Every time you turn around, there's a move that I've ever seen. And I'm talking coaching staff, roster, mentality. Really, really interesting approach the Eagles have taken after such a disappointing end to the 2023 season. I feel like everybody who's got a rational mind would say that the Eagles have really done a good job revamping this roster.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's start with the draft pick part of it.
Sure.
They get out of the gate with Mitchell, and everything just falls perfectly. Howie doesn't have to make a move. And with all the offensive players selected, he's there. And then they move up and get Cooper DeJean, whom I'm very familiar with, at Iowa. Your thoughts on the two picks and the possibility down the road that about DeJean being either a corner or a safety?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I will say, in defense of what I'm going to say here, it's hard to speculate because we don't really know what Vic Fangio is thinking. But certainly the Eagles got great value. And that's what you look for at this point in the draft. I know that there are so many draft experts out there, and I tend to wait until I see them in a uniform, in the scheme. How are they being used? Because I think that is such an important part of a player's development. That said, you're right. The Eagles benefited probably more than any other team, kind of just being patient in round one and letting the defense come to them with all the run on quarterback. So it really worked in the favor of Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, and especially Vic Fangio. And then DeGene, does he fit as a quarterback? He can run certainly well enough. He's athletic enough. Can also play safety. Can also be a nickel hybrid. I mean, there's so much cross-position versatility anymore that it's really almost unfair to label someone as a cornerback or as a safety, because it's just there's a lot of hybrid activity. But certainly the Eagles got more athletic. It's something they needed. They didn't take the football away enough in the last couple seasons, even when they were really great in 2022. I mean, look, the pass rush is critical, but it became apparent last year that the Eagles are aging in the secondary very rapidly, and it is time for an infusion of youth, and that's exactly what the Eagles have done in this draft and really throughout the free agency period as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, DeGene is just a quality player. Breaks on the ball, sees everything. Eagle
fans are
going to
love him. How are you so familiar with him? What is your ties to Cooper DeGene?
Because I've announced a lot of Penn State Iowa games in my career.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And what kind of player? So when you watched him in Iowa, you know, a dominating player. Teams went the other side. Like, what was it?
If you went toward him, you were risking something because he sees it, believes it, breaks on it. He's also invaluable as a punt returner. We could talk analytics all we want, but that's something where you have to have a feel for it. And he has a feel in traffic. Now, I know I thought the Eagles' punt return game was very good last year. It really was. I thought Covey was terrific. But this guy can do that. Now, kickoff returns, I've never seen him return a kickoff. And I know that's going to be an important part of the league coming up this year, the kickoff return part. So I've never seen him do that on any of the videos or in the games I've broadcast. But this guy is a major league player, and it tells me a lot about what the Eagles think of Mitchell, that they pick Mitchell first and then DeGene. Mitchell must be pretty special in their eyes.
Yeah, they really fell in love with him throughout their tape study and then meeting him at the Senior Bowl and watching him really step up in class. I mean, the big question with Mitchell, of course, is Toledo to the NFL. Can you make that jump? And I think they believe he's got a lot of football intelligence. Really athletic, gets to the football, and again, position versatility. So, yeah you're right. I mean, they considered, and I really think it's, I mean, a lot of teams say it, but I really do think the Eagles considered at 22 DeGene and or moving back a couple of spots and going in that direction. But they ended up getting both of them, and it's just such a shot in the arm. I remember what it meant back in 2002 with Lito, Sheldon, and Michael Lewis, transformed the defensive backfield. Took them a while to make an impact, and I think that's the benefit here. The Eagles do have some veterans and some young players who last year showed. Kaylee Ringo, for example, showed some promise. So, but look, I mean, they needed to get more athletic. They needed to get younger throughout the defense, and I really feel like they accomplished that.
I can squarely say that I know zero about Hunt from Houston Christian. So Dave, help me out.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. I know what the Eagles told me about him, and they loved him, and they loved his development. They loved his burst. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, Hassan Reddick-ish, because at least Hassan was coming from Temple University, and they were playing, you know, high-level football. That is not the case with Hunt, but from a pure physical standpoint, athletic ability, the promise that he shows coming into a situation where he doesn't have to be the guy, I think they feel it's an ideal situation. And this is a premium. You got to find edge rushers. The Eagles want to, in hockey terms, have their edge rushers come over the boards and just wear you down. And they didn't have that last year. The production really, really dropped off after that big 2022 season. So I don't know how much Hunt gives you in year one. I don't really know. I remember back to the days of Trent Cole and thinking about him as an undersized, skinny kid out of Cincinnati. But, boy, by year two and three, you saw what he was going to be. So I think they feel that same way about Hunt.
I never broadcast a game where this guy played, but I was down at Clemson to do basketball, and they were getting ready for the ACC championship. I saw a little bit of practice. Will Shipley, I'm looking at him going, you know, this is a big-time player on the collegiate level. I thought, I know running backs aren't his value, but I thought he was a steal in round four. What were your thoughts on Shipley?
Yeah, my thoughts are that I'm going to come at it from a different angle here. Love the fact that they are looking for receivers, or rather running backs who can really help in the receiving game. I just feel like these last few years here, that has been such a glaring absence from the Eagles' offense. You know, it just if you can get Jalen Hurts to improve his completion percentage by 2 or 3 points, and that includes getting the ball to Saquon and getting the ball to Gainwell and potentially also, you know, Shipley, that really can make a difference. So, versatile kid, kickoff return guy, potential. Yeah. Like him a lot. Got to be stronger breaking tackles. And that's something to work on, but I think all rookies have something to work on. But, love the idea of going running back there.
And then round five, again, another guy I'd be more familiar with is Trevor Keegan from Michigan. Thought in the Penn State game here, he was actually a difference maker up front. And he can play multiple positions. How important was that to Howie and the Eagles that they could get a multiple position guy on the offensive line?
Yeah, always. And again, you're throwing resources at, listen to the positions that we've talked about, cornerback, defensive line, running back. I know you say it's undervalued, but they just spent a bunch of money on Saquon Barkley. And then offensive line. And the more weapons you give Jeff Stoutland and the, you know, more depth you can build and the more long-term quality that you can develop, I think that really serves the Eagles well. I don't like to speak of the players in terms of what they are now because it all changes. Everybody comes
right.
in. It
exactly.
is a different world here.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I do like the idea of what they addressed in the draft.
Bill O'Brien said to me the leap from high school to college is huge. The leap from college to the NFL is a chasm. And by the way, I personally don't undervalue running backs. I think they're extremely valuable. That's just me. The old-fashioned me may be coming out. But they signed Barkley. What kind of boost did that give just to the organization emotionally that they did something like that?
Look at what the Eagles have done. I mean, they've signed all these players to contract extensions. I don't even know what the number is now. 14, 15 veterans signed in free agency. The latest, Mekhi Becton. Go in and make, you know, tie a record for most trades in a draft weekend. Pick up 3 additional picks next year. And what I think the key phrase from the Eagles was what Howie Roseman said over the weekend, that it was a mentality kind of draft, and it's been a mentality kind of offseason. And you have to wash away that 6 losses in the last 7 weeks last season. You got to find a way to change your culture. And not change it like 180 degrees, but tweak it so that kind of stuff doesn't happen again. And we've talked so much about leadership, and I don't know if I said this to you last time we spoke, but leadership really manifests itself when you're doing poorly. And the Eagles were doing poorly last year, and leadership didn't do enough to turn it around. So what do? You're going to rip it apart? No, the Eagles' philosophy is let's add. And along with that, let's kind of tweak this culture a bit. And I think that's what they've done. And so I think the Barkley move was a seismic jolt to not only the Eagles and the fan base and in the building here at NovaCare where I am right now, but to everyone, the fan base, I mean, the rest of the league. Hey, the Eagles aren't stepping back here after last year's disappointing. And they are guns a-blazing. Go out and hire 2 experienced coordinators, bring in all this talent. Now they've got to corral it all and cultivate it and build it. And so I think it's really exciting.
The team that was closest to them in the division last year was Dallas. You know, between you, me, and the 4 walls and an audience, what was your thought on how Dallas drafted?
Yeah, see, I don't mind offensive linemen. I mean, it was a weird draft for the Cowboys, no question. But it's been a weird off season for them. But you know, I've been on the other side of that, where, you know, in the Andy Reid days, the Eagles were very reluctant dipping their toe into the free agency pool. And I would always say, well, hey, let's wait till we see what the roster looks like and before we judge. So I'm going to take that same approach with Dallas. I know their fans are upset, understandably so, but they have a quality roster. They've got a lot of talent. And I always like to kind of make my judgments when the regular season begins and you really see what the team has. But certainly it's been curious the way the Cowboys have talked about being all in, and they really haven't done a whole lot. So I think what the Eagles do is the right way to do it. They don't talk. They just go out and address the roster and get creative and really push the boundaries. And I think that's why this team has been in contention, really, six playoff appearances in the last seven seasons.
One more. That's the deal they made in round five to get Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson. We know linebacker's been an interesting area for the Eagles. What was your thoughts on the Trotter pick?
Went a little bit later than I guess I thought, but was really, really happy. What got on the phone with Dad Trotter shortly after the pick was made, and obviously known Jeremiah since 1998, and feeling his emotions as a father and all the things that they've gone through, losing his wife, having his son kind of sit through the agony of draft weekend. They were at their other son's spring game in West Virginia that weekend, and they were actually in the truck. And so, like, hearing Jeremiah talk about it, it was, like, so moving and wonderful. And, you know, the Eagles did not draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because it was a good story. They drafted him because they think he can help the football team.
That's right.
And so I look forward to seeing him come in and see how he plays in this environment. It is, I know staying home has a lot of benefits, but it also, if you allow it, can really create a lot of distractions. So there's a lot on the plate of Jeremiah Trotter Jr., a lot of expectations, a lot of his friends, people who didn't even know who were his friends, people who want to be his friends. Everybody wants a piece of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. now. He's got to block all that stuff out and do his work. Nothing is guaranteed. This roster is loaded. There's competition everywhere. And I don't think there are guarantees at all for players like Jeremiah Trotter. He's got to come in and earn it.
Well said. I always enjoy talking with you. Appreciate your time very much. Your analysis, terrific. Audience really appreciates it. Thanks so much.
Hey, you've given Cooper DeJean the stamp of approval, and I got to tell you, that means more to me than most of the people who've watched a few games here, watched his highlights, offer their opinion. I think that's very irresponsible of the media to do that. But what you say, I'm taking it to the bank. I can't wait to see the kid play as an Eagle.
Remember, the one thing he has to do is they had that injury at the end of last year, right?
Yeah.
But once he gets fully healthy, he knows how to play, right? That's a big part. He knows how to play.
Well, that's all that matters. That's what matters. He's a really highly intelligent kid, and we'll see where he fits in.
Hey, appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for being with us. It was great.